Hey everyone, it's Harmon. Welcome to Comedy History 101. Ooh, you are in for a treat. We have part one of a two-part episode on the history of Dolomite. Yes, there's a new Netflix movie about Dolomite starring Eddie Murphy, but we're going to dive into the real life Dolomite, who is actually a fictional character by Rudy Ray Moore, comedian Rudy Ray Moore. Before we jump into the episode, a quick plug. Tomorrow, Tuesday, October 8th, I'll be appearing at Busboy and Poets in Washington, D.C., 6 p.m. It's part of my book release performance event, so if you are in Washington, D.C., come and check it out. Also, take some time to subscribe and comment on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you subscribe to Comedy History 101. It kind of helps us out. And without further ado...
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Good thing about doing comedy in Russia, you have captured audience.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Comedy History 101.
Dolomite is my name, and f***ing up motherfuckers is my game. Breathing down your neck.
Excellent. So what you just heard there was the trailer from the 1975 movie Dolomite, starring Rudy Ray Moore, the comedian Rudy Ray Moore. And yes, you've tuned into another episode of
Comedy History 101,
where we school you in comedy. I am Harmon Leon. With me, as always, Scott Kalonico. Scott, what did you think of that trailer?
Well, Harmon, my name is Scott Kalonico, and I'm coming to you from Berlin. And Berlin is where I'm coming to the make you live in Tillin. And that, yeah, close. I couldn't get a
little... Oh, that was sort of uncomfortable.
I couldn't get a rhyme out of it, dude. But yeah.
Why don't you just go with this one? But I'll put it to my name. Harmon Leon is my name, and fucking up motherfuckers is my game.
Dude, that was kind of in the movie.
We have to beat that. So, I don't think we have children.
No, I'm trying to do something original, but not like, come on, bro.
Well, what about I got an all-girl army who knows what to do? They're foxy as hell and practice kung fu.
If Dolomite knows that you're ripping them off, well... I pity you, Harmon.
Because fucking up motherfuckers is his game.
No, dude. He'd be Dolomite.
But no, I was giving a homage. I was giving a homage to Dolomite because...
Explain that to Dolomite, then.
Yeah, because today's episode is on the history of Dolomite and Rudy Ray Moore because... Scott, what's coming out on Netflix this month?
Dolomite is My Name, starring Eddie Murphy, is coming out. So we're kind of doing a homage and a celebration of all things Dolomite.
Yeah, so the movie's coming out on Netflix October 25th, I believe, as they say in the industry. It drops. Eddie Murphy is back. Eddie Murphy's been off the screen for a while.
I know, it's nice, but it's kind of cool.
What was the last movie he was in? Nutty Professor?
I don't even remember, man.
No, he was nominated for Academy Award.
Oh, Dreamgirls.
What was that movie?
Yeah, he was in Dreamgirls.
Yeah, Dreamgirls. Yeah, I think that was the last movie he's been in.
I guess he's kind of been, he's been low. He's been off the radar.
That's right. So this has been a dream project of his, a passion project. What do you call it, passion projects in the industry?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, totally. I agree.
Yeah, so he is going to be joined by the likes of Craig Robinson, Mike Epps, Keegan-Michael Key, Snoop Dogg, and Wesley Snipes is
awesome.
In the movie, too.
Yeah, all right.
It's kind of good to see Wesley Snipes on screen
paid
again.
Off his taxes. He's all legal now. Sure.
Yeah, that's right. What was the vampire movies he was
Blade.
In? Blade. Yeah, Blade 1 and 2. That's right. So what is it's would you call it a biopic? Dolomite My Name?
I would think so. And also from what I don't have the actual references in front of me, but I believe it was written by the same two guys. I don't remember the names off the top of my head, but it was the same two guys who did the Man on the Moon, who did the a lot of biopics recently. The OJ. The OJ Simpson, the documentary. Remember that?
OJ Simpson and Juice?
But they came to fame with their.
Co-starring me?
If we're talking about the same people, and I will double check this while we're on a commercial break. It was the same guys who did the Ed Wood documentary. And the O.J. Simpson. You remember the,
That's right. So the writers are Scott Alexander and Larry.
Look at that, dude. You even know. Look at that. You even know. I will double check that. But yeah.
No. I got the power of the internet in front of me. So
So it's the same same guys.
They did Problem Child, the TV series.
Was there?
Because they wrote Problem Child and Problem Child 2.
So was there a Problem Child like Netflix TV series? It was like a reboot of Problem Child.
There was 28 episodes of Problem Child, the TV series. I don't know what network it was on, but I think this is what we call a digression. Okay.
No, dude. There's no digressions on a podcast. Never a digression on the podcast. But so, it was the same two guys, and they also did...
Yeah, not Man on the Moon, though. They didn't do that.
I think they
that
did...
Was, oh, no, they did do Man on the Moon. You're right.
So.
Which, Scott, we talked about on the history of Jim Carrey starring in Man on the Moon versus... The documentary Jim and Andy, which I think we had mixed feelings about, which you can check out on the back catalog. Comedy History 101.
And also, but the interesting thing is, they kind of first came to like after Problem Child, maybe I guess, but they first came to life when they did the Ed Wood documentary, which kind of has a lot of parallels to the whole Dolemite thing.
Oh, it wasn't documentary.
It was biopic.
That's right. That's right. You know, Ed Wood, directed by Tim Burton. That was like so. Okay.
That was great. I thought it was good, man. I think these guys are good. They do. It's always weird doing like reality and then doing it into a fiction thing. And these guys, I think they do as good of a job as you can. You know, so they did the O.J. Simpson one where they did the redid the trial, that one that was in the series on the Netflix too as well.
Oh, did they? Okay, that was pretty good. That was just fun and entertaining.
It was one with John Travolta playing Kardashian and so we enjoy their work. We enjoy their work and so we're looking forward. I'm really looking forward to this Dolemite documentary. Docu-series.
That's
docu-series,
right.
Docu-movie.
Biopic.
Yeah.
So what do you know about the man behind Dolemite, who is a comedian, tap dancer, and singer, Rudy Ray Moore?
Well, Harmon, I'll tell you, I know a lot of them because I listened to one of our podcasts where we talked about party records about Rudy Ray Moore. But the interesting thing about Rudy Moore that I didn't know was that he...
And for our listeners, what is a party record?
It was, as the name implies, it would be a record that you put on your party while you're all hanging out, you know, maybe smoking a little bit of the reefer, the ganja. You know, and then like maybe having a Schlitz Miller Light or something like that, you know, with a pull off tab.
Oh, okay. So Scott, what you're saying, it's just a normal album that you go into a record store and there it is, displayed right in the front window. I think I'll have, sir, I'll have that album that's displayed in the front window.
I forgive. beg my forgiveness. No, you can't do this because these albums were so good.
So what would you want to do if you wanted to get the 1970 classic Eat Out More Often by Rudy Ray Moore? What would you have to do?
Actually, before I, could you tell the listeners what would be on the cover of this album, Harmon?
So, classic party record album usually has naked to semi-naked women involved in it. Again, this is the album that started it all for Dolemite, for Rudy Ray Moore. We'll dig further into his discology. But the cover, which says rated XX for strictly mature audiences, is that mature?
Because there's
a lot of the motherfucker words in it. Is that what mature audiences want?
Hey,
or is that slightly immature audiences?
Some folks say that Willie Green was the baddest motherfucker the world ever seen.
But I went to the light show joint, take a real good shit and screw your wig on tight. And let me tell you about the little bad motherfucker called Dolomite.
Yeah, I'm going to have
you
to put
say
this
motherfucker as much as you want.
Explicit content. Yeah, I just have to tick the box on iTunes that it's explicit content. Rudy Ray Moore is, I believe he is nude. And there is a woman there who I believe is also nude. And the rated XXX is going across her lady bits.
Good. As long as they're covered up. Yeah, so that's the idea of a Rudy Ray Moore. And you would have to go in, you'd actually have to go into the record store and request them. Because they couldn't keep them out in the record. They'd have to keep them behind the counter in a brown paper bag.
Yeah, like you were doing like a drug deal. So the big party record label was Laugh Records, which we talked about on our history of party records. But this Rudy Ray Moore, he actually recorded on, most of his albums were on Imperial Records, just in case anyone out there is wondering. Which, what was Red Fox on before there was Laugh Records? There was that other label that Red Fox recorded on, do you remember?
Off the top of my head, no.
The Laugh of the Party, I think, was one of them.
Yeah.
Oh, Due to Records. Yeah, so Due to Records was the other big, but Rudy Ray Moore actually recorded on Imperial Records, and throughout his career, he put out an impressive 31 albums.
Yeah, I mean, I think the interesting thing is, and I think this is for all the kids on the YouTubes and whatever out there, it's just like he was the original, or actually the punk rockers, because the punk rockers, they call it DIY, do it yourself. So he was like one of the first guys who was just like, all right, you know I do something good, but the record companies say they can't sell anything, but I'm just going to do it. So he actually Rudy Ray Moore before that, let's just go talk a little bit about his childhood, is that he was born in Fort Smith, Arkansas, you know, back in the deep south. And then
1927,
March 17th, happy birthday, Rudy Ray. And then eventually he moved to Cleveland and points elsewhere to kind of expand his career. And then at one point he wound up joining the army, where he was posted to Germany, which is where...
Hold on, back up a bit. We're not at the army yet.
We're not. Okay.
Interesting tidbit. At age 17, he moved to Milwaukee, and he got a job as a dancer in a nightclub. And again, this is because this feeds into, you know, Dolomite was a character of Ray Rudy Moore.
Rudy Ray Moore.
Yeah, thank you. I knew I screwed that up while the words were coming out of my mouth. So he was a dancer at age 17. He moved to Milwaukee, and his character was called Prince Dumont.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah. So after he did that, he decided he wanted to go even further. So he joined the army, where back in the day, where they basically sent everybody to Germany. He was stationed here in Germany, where he was nicknamed. He would go on. He was actually stationed with an entertainment unit. That was like, you know, he had special units that would just go entertain all the troops at the different bases. And his
really, that's kind of a good gig if you had to be drafted.
Well, there was a lot of people who were doing that. There was a lot of people who were.
Like who else? Cause I think that maybe that's like an episode in itself.
Yeah, it is. That's a whole other podcast. But yeah, I can't recall any off the top of my head. But they had certain like band people who were played in bands and stuff. They were always like, you know, in the
Was Elvis in the
No, he wasn't.
Corps?
No. That was Whoa.
Did Elvis actually shoot anyone?
Now we're getting to whole conspiracy land. This is a whole another podcast.
Oh. Did Elvis assassinate Hitler?
Dude, this is a whole another podcast, dude. No.
Just give me a
teaser. The teaser is that Elvis was getting too popular, so he got drafted by the army to like kind of like take him down a notch. Which kind of
probably so, but I thought he joined up himself.
No, he didn't. He didn't join up himself. He got drafted, and then there's that whole weird thing about him and Colonel Parker, the illegal immigrant. Trump.
Where was Colonel Parker from? Because Colonel Parker also managed. Who did he also manage? Somebody like not like Buddy Holly.
I don't know. Yeah,
someone of that ilk. Yeah, he's mentioned on the country documentary by Ken Burns.
He was Dutch. He was, and then the whole thing was that.
And he wasn't a colonel.
And he wasn't a colonel, and the whole thing was he might have had, just kind of come to the States illegally, and that's why he had no passport or anything. So he was all afraid to leave the States.
Ooh, yeah. he's like Melania Trump.
Hey, whoa. Don't talk about Barron. Don't mention Barron.
You're talking about our soon-to-be impeached president's wife. Trophy bride.
If you want to hear about more about the president, though, you can listen to our other podcast. This is the President. We'll be talking about all things presidential with me and Harmon.
Yeah, but something funny that actually he created sort of like a comedy trope was when he was in the Entertainment Corps, Rudy Ray Moore, he was nicknamed the Harlem Hillbilly because he would sing country songs in an R&B style. Nope. So in modern stand-up, we've seen that quite a bit. You know, kind of you take a popular song and then you do it in a different genre. I mean, I've seen that throughout the years.
Well, that was
kind of
interesting enough.
And this is probably in, I think he put out his first album in 1959. So this must have been late 50s or early 50s.
Yeah, like
so around
like
there.
And
so,
on a personal thing, I used to, I did one show where I opened up for Hard and Firm with comedian Chris Hardwick, and they got their big start. Like their first big thing was they did a bunch of Radiohead songs in Hillbilly.
Back in the room. So that was it after the Army. Rudy Ray Moore just retired from show business.
No, no, no.
He started releasing
he released albums on the Imperial label.
Hold on.
I'm trying to push the story forward.
I know. You're smash. Dude, know what you're doing? You're smash cutting to mid career Rudy Ray Moore. We still got a few more steps before.
This is like the hipster thing where I would do that, and then all of a sudden they'd freeze frame. They'd go, hold on, wait, but there's a whole story behind that. Right. Okay, go ahead.
Bye. Yeah. Or should we do the cruise ship thing where we talk about Rudy Ray Moore in the Army, and then we just show a bunch of stills or video footage without any explanation until he's on
the
screen?
Nobody's going to get that.
It's all right.
I know.
But sometimes it gets...
Sometimes.
In my live comedy shows, sometimes the biggest joy is like a reference, you know, only two people will get
and they
laugh and they're appreciative of it. So I'll keep that in. So after the Army, Rudy Ray Moore, he moved to Los Angeles in 1959, and he began to put out a series of albums. His first album was called Below the Belt, which came out 1959. That was followed by the 1962 album, The Beatnik Scene. Did you find any clips from that?
I did not, though.
I'd like to tell you one about The Beatnik. You know, he went to nightclub the other day, and he got ready to go in the nightclub, and he looked at the policeman standing on the outside, and The Beatnik looked at him and said, look here, flat foot, like this, baby, could you tell me what time it is? Policeman took out his billy club and struck him across the head one time, said the clock just struck 1 o'clock. The Beatnik said, well, just look here, daddy, said I'm awful glad I didn't get through here long about 12 o'clock, you know.
So another one he put out was the 1964 funny. I like this, like the titles, A Comedian Is Born.
I know, dude, he's selling it.
Yeah, so his style was influenced back in the early days by, of course, the comedian who started the party record genre, Red Fox, and also Richard Pryor. And so he's influenced by Richard Pryor, but it's not like the Richard Pryor that we know it if it's the 60s, because Richard Pryor reinvented himself with the album, what, Scott? Craps,
okay.
Which was... put out by Laugh Records. I believe that was like 1970 or so. So it must have been early Richard Pryor. But besides the comedians, he was also influenced by the tradition of the dozens. What do you know about the dozens?
Well, you know, Harmon, that's interesting enough because, you know, I'm not going to say it, but I am going to say it, is I had to stop and open up the Wikipedia page about the dozens. And it says, the dozens is a game of spoken word between two contestants. Common in black communities in the United States, where participants insult each other until one gives up. And that's what it says in Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I guess the easiest example of that is kind of like a Yo Mama joke off. That's called like the Yo... And again, I think that's another episode that we should do on the dozens, because that's
a whole
some of them are pretty episode. Funny. Who's oh, Flavor Flav was into the dozens. Yeah. I think there's a video of him and Dr. Dre doing the dozens.
Your mother lips so big, her favorite word is...
Yo, man, I heard your mom had a thumb on her back, and she's still hitchhiking.
I heard your mother had a record stuck in her butt.
Yeah, so again, I think Yo Mama jokes were a subsect of the dozens.
I think we could talk about it. That'll be in the other podcast, but I think Your Mama jokes and the dozens are kind of the same.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying, is Your Mama jokes would be considered...
The dozens.
Part of the dozens.
They are the dozens.
Okay. But you put the opposite, is the dozens wouldn't be considered Your Mama.
But then you could do your daddy jokes, and I guess that would be part of the dozens, but they're not your...
Yeah, right. That could be part of the dozens, right. Sure. It was just sort of an insult. And again, though, how this ties in, the style which, Rudy Ray Moore developed was, comes from the tradition of the dozens. But also, because he started as a dancer and a singer in clubs, that sort of influenced his style, that you would hear later in his Dolomite records, which are all backed by musicians, mm-hmm. which is kind of very cool. And
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pie, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Dive into that. So I guess he was kind of a struggling comedian up until the 1970s because... at the time where he developed the Dolomite character, he was working a day job at a record store, but it was a very famous record store. It's called Dolphins of Hollywood, which was located in Watts. And I know they're famous because they have their own Wikipedia page.
Okay, right,
Yeah. So I think it was a famous R&B type record store. So he was working there, and there was a local guy, as they say, a wino named Rico.
Probably, he lived on Skid Row. Yeah.
Oh, that's bad. It's bad to this day. Yeah. Yeah. So the local guy.
No, there's hipster bagel shops there.
Well, around the corner though is three blocks of Brooklyn in downtown LA where they have a lot of tech companies.
Well, that's the weird part because Watts is the worst part of LA, but that's right where US.
That's USC.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways, Rico would go on about these rhyming toasts of an urban hero named Dolomite and Ray. Is it Rudy Ray Moore?
Rudy Ray Moore.
Yeah, Rudy Ray Moore would they would encourage him, and so I guess he just stole his act.
but the weird...
No, he adapted some of the stories and was influenced by the stories that this, homeless guy, Rico, would say in the parking lot. And he put it into his nightclub.
I know, but it's such a weird, because like the Dolomites are a mountain range in northwestern Italy. It's just like, wow.
And I've been there. I've been mountain biking there.
Yeah. I've been there. I've been to Bolzano. I've been there. It's just like, but why would you?
But no, but in Italy, you call them the Dolomites. So is that maybe when they do the spaghetti western version of the blaxploitation movie Dolomite, they call it the Dolomites.
Okay, hey, don't be racist. Don't be racist.
So, my name is Dolomite. Hey, and fucking up the motherfuckers. That's my game. So anyway, so he adapted into his stage act, and Scott, you were going on about the punk rock ethic of DIY, do it yourself. Yeah. So he gathered $300, and this was very like party record-esque, and he decided to record the album Eat Out More Often, which we talked about earlier. And he recorded it in his house with friends in attendance. And he recorded it for $300. Is that the end of the story?
No, it's not. Actually, because
did the record do well?
He actually paid, he had a friend who was a sound engineer. So that was what the $300 was for, to like make it sound not too shitty. But that's not the end of the story.
Well, the day he was dropped from his mammy's ass,
okay.
He slapped his pappy's face and said, "From now on, cocksucker, I'm running this place." At the age of one, he was drinking whiskey and gin. At the age of two, he was eating the bottles that came in. Not only might had an uncle called Sudden Death. Killed a dozen bad men from the smell of his breath. When his uncle heard how Dolomite was treating his own ma and pa, he said, "Let me go and check this little bad rascal before he go too far."
Now what? Yeah, it's all right, because it's, again, it was, you know, on that style of, you know, backing musicians, backing him up on, you know, kind of his stories of the tales of Dolomite.
Yeah, I mean, like, what's wrong with Dolomite, dude? You gotta tell the story.
Yeah, so the album kind of ended up doing well. It reached the top 25 on the Billboard 200, made for $300.
That's not too shabby. And it turns out that the next album that he did after that did just as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out, I don't have that right here in front of me. What do you have? What do you have over there?
It's called This Pussy Belongs to Me. Wait, hold on, I gotta get an image of this album cover.
I didn't want to believe it, didn't want to quite say that, but that is called This Pussy Belongs to Me, and he was actually the first comedian that had two albums in the top 50 ever.
Yeah, oh, really?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, that was in one of those.
So before, Bill Cosby? Yeah. No, but Bill Cosby was selling big records, before we found out all his backstory.
I'm just saying what I heard. This is what I heard. They said he was the first comedian that had two albums in the top 50, whatever, sales charts or something.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's pretty impressive. So the album cover of This Pussy Belongs to Me, it's, again...
Didn't seem to.
Much like the Eat Out More... How is it a singular entendre joke on the album cover or double entendre? What's your guess?
Well, no, it's a singular pussy. Oh.
No, it's double entendre, because it's Rudy and a bunch of naked women, and they're sitting on top of a tiger.
Dear. Okay. All right. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. I'll have to think about that, dude. That's like a big question.
No, it's a double entendre joke on the cover.
I can answer it on one podcast. Yeah. It looks like two or three, man.
Yeah, so that was followed up by, we talk about his influence was The Dozens. He put out an album called The Dirty Dozens.
Over here at Rudy Ray Moore's house. Well, we going to drag you in the alley, put some garbage on top of you, and make you real squishy. Here's old Rudy Ray Moore.
Yeah, here come these two low-lifed motherfuckers at my house party. And this one over here, this boy over here, I know he been talking about my wife. I know it, they done eat up all my food, drank up all my drinks, smoked up all my shit, and now they want to talk about my beautiful, lovely wife. And I'm not going to have it.
Yeah, I talking about that bitch. She smoked up, gave me all of the shit, and I smoked it up. I fucked it like a dog, and the pussy was so funky, it got the maggot to stanky, bitch.
We're, along with jazz and R&B musicians playing in the background, you know, I guess this is like the whole premise of most of his albums. So we have jazz and R&B musicians playing in the background while Moore would recite raunchy, sexually explicit rhymes that often had to do with pimps, prostitutes, players, and hustlers.
That's right, dude.
Kind of like our semi-not-so-modern era Andrew Dice Clay, I guess.
our current president, yes.
Yeah, so because of this, because of he was backed by jazz and R&B musicians while he was doing the sexually explicit rhymes, that has made some people say that he is the godfather of rap.
I would not disagree.
Yeah, but that's also what they said about Pigmeat Markham, who we've talked about on our last episode on here, the history of Here Comes the Judge, where they said that was the first sort of rap
album. I disagree with myself. No, I agree with myself.
Yeah,
no,
go ahead.
I don't. I agree with both myself, my past self and my current self. We're in agreement.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody.
Well, I think it was just sort of, maybe it was like a genre, you know, that wasn't mainstream to put, you know, music sort of rhymes and talking. I mean, what was Gil Scott-Heron's Revolution Won't Be Televised? I mean, I think that's early 70s, but that was considered also one of the first sort of rapish albums.
And that's the Man on the Moon guy, too, right? No, we're not putting the man.
Yeah, Whitey on the Moon. Yeah, it's fucking great album. But the Revolution won't be televised. I love that song.
I think that's the same thing here. It's what we talked about. It's just like, because Rudy Ray Moore was all, like, everything he did was all self-funded. So there's no, you have no, there's no barriers, you know? There was no gatekeeper telling him, you can't do this or not. You can't put that on an album. He just did it, and he did the same thing to films, as we'll come to talk about.
Yeah, exactly. So once again, after the success of all these albums, he decided to make a movie, which is, this is sort of leading into part, oh, we forgot to mention, this is part one of a two-part episode. So this kind of leads us into part two, which we'll carry on next week. But here's like a teaser. So success of his comedy albums in 1975, he decided to finance a Dolomite movie. With his own money.
With his own money. That's the whole thing. He took it from all of his albums. His albums were doing really well at that time. You know, he was making...
Well, like you said, he had two albums on the chart at one time. And, you know, and his character, which I forgot to sort of describe, the character of Dolomite, here's sort of in the words of, I think, his site or the Wikipedia page. His character was the ultimate ghetto hero, a bad dude, profane, skilled at kung fu, dressed to kill, and hell-bent on protecting the community from evil menaces.
Yes.
He was a pimp with a kung fu fighting clique of prostitutes who he was known for his sexual prowess.
Right.
Which is against Rudy Ray Moore's, in real life, he was kind of a short, punchy guy.
Hey, you watch it.
Which makes it funny, watch though, because and again, we'll jump into that in the next episode, because there's a lot of kung fu in the Dolomite movies. So here's just a teaser for the next episode, part two. Is the movie was made for $100,000. What was it called? Oh, it's just called Dolomite. Yeah. And My Name is Dolomite is the Eddie Murphy biopic. And at the box office, Scott, know how much it made?
I think it made like $10 million or something, $13 million.
Oh, blee. Okay. Wrong. $12 million.
Dude, come on. Right on either side. Come on, brother. Give me a break.
Yeah, so again, that and this is in 1970.
Let me run this through to the Comedy History 101 computer. We can figure this out.
Oh, so again, he was playing also, which we'll talk about next time, playing off of the success of blaxploitation movies of the era, which, you know, start off with the movie like Superfly.
Right.
And I was reading this that, what was, so Enter the Dragon was really
big at the time, the Bruce Lee movie. So it was Enter the Dragon, and then Jim Kelly had a small role, an African-American guy had a small role in Enter the Dragon. And then they decided,
Did they make Kung Fu Jones? And that's what
it was. It was Black Belt.
The blaxploitation version. But
like the black audiences obviously loved having this black guy in there, and so they spun him off into Black Belt Jones, and then that happened.
Yeah, Black Belt Jones, I think. Yeah.
So,
like, first of all, great name for a movie.
You can't go wrong with that, dude. So I have an update, Harmon, for you.
Yes.
Oh no, not yet. Hold on, wait. I don't yet.
We have. I can cough again, and we have the power.
Okay,
of
okay, here we go.
Excuse me.
Okay. Oh wow. Oh Jesus Christ. Okay, you ready for this?
What?
Okay, so we were talking about the amount that Dolemite made. We decided on the amount of $12 million in 1975. In 2018 dollars, that would be $55 million.
Yeah, for just a small independent movie, and again, just made just on a shoestring budget. Yeah. In the next episode, we'll get into the nuts and bolts of production of Dolemite, because they kind of had to cut a lot of corners.
They did on the production.
So and there's just like a lot of really good stories about that, and we'll also get into the Netflix movie. They Call Me Dolemite, and we'll talk about that. I think we'll get a screener copy of that so we can describe firsthand and, you know, compare it with that. So I guess that ends. Not I guess. I know that ends part one of the history of Dolemite. Scott, any takeaways from part one of the history of the early days of Rudy Ray Moore?
Well, Harmon, let me tell you my takeaway. The takeaway that I have is a takeaway I give. The number one I say is that rat soup eating honky motherfuckers are my game, and fucking up motherfuckers is my name. My name is Scott Kalanko. Back to you, Harmon, yo biatch.
Ooh, that voice you put out made me slightly uncomfortable.
Why? That was my heart.
All right. Yeah. I don't know if you feel
it's
good
fine.
About it.
It's fine. It's my shoulder. It's fine.
Yeah, so anyways, with that, I think it's time to plug away. Scott, what do you have to plug?
Oh, my God.
Can you announce?
Thank you so much.
What? I think we can announce what's dropping November.
Yes, I can.
We
can announce it now. Thank you so much, Harmon. And, you know, if you didn't enjoy my Dolemite voice, come back. I'll do a different Dolemite voice. But as...
Oh, was that Dolemite's voice?
No, that was my rap voice. Anyway, right. As Harmon said, so we do have a very big festival. We're very excited to announce. So we'll be premiering our short that Harmon produced, that I wrote and directed, called Everything You Want to Know About Sudden Birth But We're Afraid to Ask, at the Doc NYC Film Festival in New York in November. So it's very exciting. Harmon will be there. Harmon will be introducing the film. So if you're in New York...
Yeah, I'll be doing... I'm going to do the Q&A this time.
Harmon will be there. The other very cool thing is that we'll be showing at the AFI Los Angeles Film Festival. And we're showing the Chinese Theater, Harmon. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, holy shit, that's, dude. That's
kind
awesome.
Of a big deal.
I'll pass the word on to our friends Rodney and my friend John.
And then also other big one is Hot Springs Documentary Film Festival in Hot Springs. So we got three more chances for an Oscar nomination, Darman. So that's all we're doing. And then what about
the Hot Tub Festival?
Oh, no, I don't know about that one.
Were you playing there?
No, just Hot Springs, dude.
Oh, I'd go to that one for sure.
Pretty cool because they run the springs in the hot tubs, so it's kind of like it kind of touches on what you said.
Where's that once again?
Arkansas. You haven't been to Arkansas.
Oh.
It's nice. No,
I was gonna say something
no,
that would ostracize
that.
Us
that. No.
to all our Arkansonian listeners.
No, dude, Hot Springs is like the Asheville of Arkansas. It's like the hipster. Hot Springs is like the Austin of Arkansas. It's like the hipster town. Yeah.
All right.
So yeah. It's good. Got it. The other thing is this also, as always, Harmer and I have another podcast called This is the President, where you can hear all things presidential found audio, doing lots of stuff with Trump right now, if you'd like to hear some samples of President Trump. But also the biggest thing that's really cool that we're happy about was that we have our YouTube channel back up. Just look it for This is the President on YouTube. You can find it. You can hear all of our presidential phone calls that we do every episode up there on the YouTubes.
Hear, hear. And for me, I'll be performing in Washington, D.C. this Tuesday, October 8th at 6 p.m. at Busboy and Poets. Ooh. It'll be part of my book release tour for my book, Tribe Spotting Undercover Culture Stories. So if you're in Washington, D.C. and you want to hear me do the stories from the books, I'll be doing a big multimedia presentation excerpt from my Edinburgh Festival shows.
And if somebody wanted to buy the book, where could they get that, Harmon?
They could get it at the event or on Amazon. Awesome.
Okay.
And so that does it with part one. We'll be back next week with part two of the history of Dolomite. Thanks a lot for tuning in, and bye-bye.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Good thing about doing comedy in Russia, you have captured the audience.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Comedy History 101.
Yes, ma'am, I read you loud and clear. Yes, ma'am, this is... Yes, ma'am, this is... This is the President.
Hey everyone, Scott here. You just finished our Comedy History 101 podcast. So you like comedy and history. Then you should try out our other podcast, This is the President. In every episode, I dig up some found audio from one of our presidents and play it for Harmon, who's never heard it before. Then we talk about it. From Truman to Trump, we cover all your favorite presidents. And not so favorite ones. You can also hear Harmon sounding off about current events and the state of America today. And, if you're lucky, you might be able to catch us reading customer reviews of Trump products on Amazon. You can subscribe to This is the President on iTunes, Google Play, Last.fm, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Just search for This is the President, subscribe, and together we'll make America great again.